This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Myers delivers the teaching entitled, God Protects What Matters. This is the second message in the series, Great and Awesome. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
It's when everything is broken that God speaks the loudest. And even then, His voice comes in a whisper. He starts with the one, the lone pioneer. From the one He calls the few. From the few, He calls the many. In one hand a shovel, the other a sword. To protect what we build. We work in dirt and stone, in hearts and souls. Sometimes God calls us to build with shovels. Sometimes He calls us to build with swords.
So welcome to 12 Stone across the nine campuses on this Mother's Day weekend. So what are some of your Mother's Day traditions? Well, at our home, it's the restaurant thing. Do y'all do that where mom gets to pick the restaurant? So Marsha picks the restaurant and all the kids have to show up. And we did that this year on this past Thursday because 12 Stone kind of takes up our time on the weekend. So that said, mom picked Dominic's and all the kids showed up, the two older married ones with their spouses and Jake, the college student, and Jaden, our 11-year-old. And we spent a little time just connecting and smiling, having fun and catching up on one another's lives. And then the other tradition kicks in. And the other tradition is the kids regale with their favorite mom stories, like the long ago story of the Grand Canyon, when it was a beautiful sunset, but we couldn't quite enjoy it because this way too young couple were way too into each other. And so they're kissy face, making out, doing things in public that ought to be, you well, just only in private. And we're probably, I don't know, 50 feet away, and mom leans down to 5-year-old Jake at the time and says, "You ought to yell, go get a room." So Jake doesn't know what he's saying, and he yells out loud, "Get a room!" Well, the couple looks at us, and the family bursts out laughing, and we run away as if we just got caught TPing. I mean, I don't even know why. But from then on, get a room gets a laugh in our family. So Josh tells his story. When he got his motorcycle, his treasure, his first dirt bike, an 80cc Honda, used bike, but new to him. And he's learning how to ride, doing great with the clutch and the gear shifts, and he's doing loops around the house. We had like an acre with a thin kind of long front and back, and he was impressing Grandma and Grandpa, Marsha's mom and dad. But when he stopped the bike and Marsha decided to impress everybody, I got worried. I'm like, "Honey, don't do that. No, seriously, honey, don't you really don't know what you're doing, and don't do that, especially without a helmet." She didn't listen to me. What's new? So she took off, and she did one loop around the house, and then you know what happens, a little bit of success. She got that cocky kind of look. Pride comes before the fall. And off she went at higher speeds into the front yard for round two, only this time she lost control. Going too fast, couldn't make the turn. Panicked. Went right out into the street, and I mean clumsy, like over the curb, and when she went over the curb, she went over the bars and tumbled. Oh yeah, it was beautiful. If I'm not painting a good enough picture, just watch this YouTube of somebody else trying it, just so you have a picture of what I'm talking about. So you get the idea? Over the handlebars, bike goes tumbling. It wasn't quite that gnarly, but it was really beautiful. I wish we'd had a camera. And so, of course, everybody runs out to mom's aid, and we care very much about mom's condition. And she's country born bred. She is just tough as nails. She just gets up, brushes it off, you know. But Josh, he's caring about his mom, but he's looking at his bike. He sees the twisted handlebars and the bent levers and the ripped grips and the road rash on the tank. And he's looking at his mom now and me, and he comes over to me. Dad. And he's doing the blinky eye thing. You know what that means? I'm trying not to cry, but dear God, I'm going to lose it. Dad, she wrecked my bike. See, it's a guy thing. Listen, ladies, you can tell us to shower. You can make us put on deodorant. You can dress us, hence the salmon-colored shirt. That's how you know it's Mother's Day. She said, honey, I'm going to class you up. I said, you can't. She says, I'm going to try. I'm tired of the black shirts all summer. You can make us put decorative pillows on the beds for reasons we know not of. You can make us go to boring meetings, but you cannot wreck our motorcycles. I mean, that would even make a grown man cry. So I understood him. And Josh tells a story every year. We laugh and have fun. And now by the end of the experience, what the kids are really saying is, Mom, we are so grateful to you. I mean, you have modeled walls and gates like no other. You have modeled walls and gates. Everybody say those two words to me. You have modeled what? Walls and gates. And we are forever grateful. Now, see, my kids have never used that sentence. They've never used those two words. They never said, oh, Mom, we're so glad you lived out walls and gates. But in a moment, it'll make sense to you, and it's what we learn from Nehemiah on this week 2 of this great and awesome series. Everybody across campuses, grab your Bibles. Let's turn over to the book of Nehemiah. Let's pick up where we left off last weekend. We're going to turn over to page 478, Nehemiah chapter 4, page 478. While you're turning there, if you're in your own Bibles, it's Nehemiah 4. If it's a worship center Bible right underneath your chair, pull it out. Turn to page 478. We'll be in chapter 4 reading verse 1 and following. Let me catch you up. If you're not with us last week, now you can pick up the teaching online. We hope you will. But let me tell you where we left off. The story of Nehemiah is right here in history. About 540 years before Nehemiah, David, king of Israel, David of David and Goliath, David of the Psalms, purchased the land for the future temple for Jerusalem. This would be the place around which all the wall would be built and for the city. His son Solomon built the temple and strengthened the walls around Jerusalem. Those are significant for the city. 140 years before Nehemiah, Babylon conquered, sacked Jerusalem. And they tore down the walls and reduced them to rubble. They burned the gates. That had been their condition for 140 years until the moment of Nehemiah, where we started teaching last weekend. And by the way, for those who care, about 445 years after Nehemiah, Jesus Christ, God the Father, sent his son Jesus, taking on human flesh, he came to earth. So here we are with Nehemiah. And Nehemiah sends the call of God to go rebuild the walls. And what Nehemiah lets us know is that God rebuilds broken things. And more than that, God rebuilds broken lives. And because God is great and awesome, he's able to do this. That's our good news. That's what we talked about. And therefore, the thing we need to do is pick up a shovel and join God's cause. And that's what literally thousands of us last weekend did across the campuses. And if you were here but you didn't put your name on a shovel, you can still do that. If you've been thinking about it, yeah, I need to be a part of what God is doing among us, I'll put my name on the shovel. You can still do that in the lobby of any of the campuses. If you weren't here, get online, listen to it, join in, jot your name down, put it on the shovel. I want to be a part of the cause of what God is doing in rebuilding people's lives. Now, week 2 takes us to chapter 4. Let's look at it together. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones. And then Nehemiah prays, hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. I want you to see this huge opposition when they're trying to rebuild the wall. Verse 6. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height. For the people worked with what? All their heart. For the people worked with what, everyone? All their heart. I want you to see that there was opposition, but they kept building. I want you to see that they kept a shovel in their hand. And they had accomplished building with all their heart. By the way, I want you to hear this. With all your heart is how you build a marriage. It's how you build a family. It's how moms raise kids. It's how parents grow kids. By the way, it's how you build a church as well. When everybody leans in with all their heart. Hey, half-hearted never builds anything. And there's some things to learn. Nehemiah would tell us there are some things we need to know and some things we need to do. One thing we need to know in your teaching notes, one thing you need to do. Grab your teaching notes, cross campuses, jot it down, it's on the back of the bulletin, and let's look at what Nehemiah would tell us we need to know, we need to do. Here we go, the first one, what you need to know. By the way, in other words, why are we putting so much effort in building the walls and gates? Here's why. Because we all need walls to protect and gates to prosper. Jot it down in your note. We all need walls to what? Protect. Everybody say this. You got to get this because this is the core today. We all need walls to what? Protect. And we need gates to what? Prosper. I'm going to spend the majority of my teaching and our time right here. You need walls to protect. We need walls to protect us. We need gates to prosper us. See, God knew that Jerusalem needed walls and gates. Let me just take it back here together for a moment. See here's what we're saying. We need these walls that were being built around Jerusalem. He said, we need walls to protect us. And we need the gates to prosper us. See, the walls right here are what keeps out the bad. Walls keep out the bad. Gates let in the good. And you're going to need this in your life. The truth of the matter is, you're going to need walls because you have an enemy. And the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's why Jesus, when he talks about the enemy, Satan, he lets us know that he's going to try and get into your life. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's going to undo the good things God wants to do in your life. He's going to steal the best life, life to the full, that God has for you. You need walls. You need to know what to keep out. But simultaneously, you need gates. You need to know what to let in. You got to let in the goods that nurture prosperity in your life. And by that, I mean more than material. I mean relational and spiritual and moral prosperity that brings up the kind of life we all long for. It may not be obvious to you, but I'll point it out. Read the first six chapters of the book of Nehemiah, and it's talking about physical walls and gates. You got to build them for your life. But chapter 7 to 13, the back half of the book of Nehemiah, is all about building spiritual walls and gates, moral walls and gates for your life, economic walls and gates, relationship principles and values for family walls and gates. See, he realizes that what they're doing physically, they must now also do for the whole of their life. And by the way, that's what parenting is, isn't it? Isn't that really what moms do? If you think about it, that's what moms do. Moms model walls and gates. Well, so do dads, right? Parenting, but it's Mom's Day. We'll lean into that. Moms, you build walls and gates, and you model them for your children. So model them well, because your children live inside your walls and gates. They figure out what to let in their life and what to keep out of their life by the way you live. Do it wisely, because they live inside that, and that becomes their blessing. Because eventually, someday, they're going to leave. So build walls to protect, to keep out the bad. Perhaps a good way to illustrate that is from the Baltimore riots, which turned into one of the more intriguing stories about a mom, leading to hashtag mom of the year. And that suggests some of you are catching on. Got over 8 million hits on YouTube in one of the shortest periods of time. She ended up on the news everywhere and highly entertaining. We're going to play just a slice of it that I think will help make sense of the whole.
And the New York Post says, send in the moms to tame the Baltimore rioters. It refers to one woman in particular who took matters into her own hands, literally. Toya Graham spotted her 16-year-old son in a crowd of teens vandalizing and looting. Cameras captured the moment that she confronted her son. She yelled at him and struck him multiple times, and video of the moment spread quickly on TV and social media. And good morning to you, Ms. Toya Graham.
Good morning.
Here's a front page of the paper this morning. It says, forget the National Guard, send in the moms. They're calling you hero mom. Do you feel like a hero mom this morning?
I don't.
Because what was your intention?
My intention was just to get my son and have him be safe. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I knew that was, that whole thing was not safe.
He clearly had respect and fear of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because as you were pushing him and doing that sort of right hook you had, he was backing off. Mm-hmm. What was he saying to you?
Mom, okay, mom, you know, and I was pretty much just telling him, you know, how dare you do this?
That clearly was not the first time that you've had that interaction with him, is it?
No.
Tell us about him.
Like I stated before, he has been in trouble before, and he knows right from wrong. My children, it's just me and my children. Mm-hmm. I don't go out. You know, do any of that thing. Only thing I do is church, and it's me and my children and my grandchildren.
When you saw that tape of you?
I thought my pastor is going to have a fit.
I tell you what, your pastor may have a fit, but the police commissioner of Baltimore said, yes, we need more moms,
yeah, right,
like
more.
You.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of praise, not just, you know, in Baltimore, but certainly around the country, say, send in the moms.
You know, he was coming upstairs and he was telling me things that his friends were saying.
What are they saying?
Michael, you need to give your mother a hug. Mm-hmm. You know, Mother's Day is right around the corner. You need to buy her the best Mother's Day gift ever, you know, so.
Oh, that's such a good story, isn't it? It's a modern day picture of what we learned from Nehemiah, that moms who love their kids want to build walls. There are things you can't let into your life. She didn't want that coming into her son Michael's life. So Toya got pretty serious about it. You know, later they interviewed Michael. It was fascinating. This 16-year-old kid, who of course has got more attention than he wants now. Here's what he said. I feel like my mom does care about me, and I should not have been there. Moms, what you want to teach your kids and model is Proverbs 4:23. By the way, that's true for dads. And by the way, that's true for the whole church. This is what we do. Jot it down. Proverbs 4:23, and I'll read it for you. Guard your heart. Do what? Guard your heart. Listen, guard your heart, because everything in life flows from it. What's he saying? Your soul is a city. Build a wall around it. Guard it. What you let in to the city, so to speak, what you let into your soul, what you let into your life is going to define the quality of your life. You let a thief in, you don't have to wonder why you feel like you've had things stolen from you. And sometimes we live as if we're not aware that we need to guard our heart, our mind, our thinking, our living. As if life just happens to us. Like, I don't know, I just go about life and life just happens to me. Don't know how I get here. Sometimes that happens because you grow up in a generation like Nehemiah that had no walls or gates modeled for them. Think about it. Nehemiah shows up on the scene, and this entire generation, none of them had ever grown up with walls and gates. They're all just tore down. So anything gets in, anything gets out. And sometimes we end up living that way ourselves, and we're not even aware of it. We don't even realize how significant walls and gates are. Maybe up until this conversation, it never crossed your mind that that's what's breaking down in life. That's what's missing is you've not built godly walls and godly gates. You don't know what to keep out and what to let in. It didn't occur to you that the reason the quality of life is being stolen from you is you let in the thief and you don't even see your part in it. You don't have a mechanism to filter out foolish thinking, sinful habits, destructive lies. And many of us talk like life just happens to us and we can't even see our hand in it. Build walls that protect. But it's more than that. It's build gates to let the good in. Build gates to let the what? The good in. Over in chapter 7, you can turn there if you like, of Nehemiah, or you could just listen as I read. Verse 1. After the wall had been rebuilt, so we're a distance down the road, and I, Nehemiah, had set the doors in place, the gatekeeper, the what? Gatekeeper. Okay, now he's talking about the gates. The gatekeeper, the musicians, the Levites were appointed. I put in charge of Jerusalem my brother Hananiah, along with Hananiah, the commander of the citadel, because he was a man of integrity and feared God more than most people. I want you to hear that. He was a man of integrity who feared God more than most people. We'll talk for a moment about that. And I said to him, the gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the sun is hot. While the gatekeepers are still on duty, leave them shut with the doors and their bars in place. Also appoint residents of Jerusalem as guards, some as their posts, some near their own houses. Now listen, what he's telling us is that what happens at the gate is huge. You don't just build walls, you got to build gates. You got to know what to let in. And he said, I put people in charge at the gates who, listen, who feared God more than people. Because you need to know that in this world, when you build walls, the culture is going to collide with your theology. What you believe about God, him being great and awesome, and what it means to be right, righteous, holy. The world, the culture will collide with your theology. And at that moment of pressure, which will happen repeatedly in your life, you are going to make a decision. Do you love God and honor him more, or does the approval and acceptance of the culture around you dominate God in your life? Because culture will swallow up your theology. And many times, well, I'm a Christian, but if your culture around you has swallowed up your theology, it's hard to even determine who you are. In that collision is your gate. What do you let in? Let the good in. It's more than just keeping the bad out. It's letting the good in. It nurtures the prosperity of your life and your relationships. This is huge to how you live life, how you train kids, what we do as a church. This is what we do. We help build gates and walls, godly, wise gates and walls. And you have to let the good in. Because, for example, the culture says, be all about yourself. Literally, just make it all about you. A very selfish world, and that collides. And that's why Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, has this little slice when he's talking about working out that is so our culture. It's just a brief, but it makes me laugh. Check it out.
I don't get the mirrors. You know, I don't want to see myself working out. I know what I look like. That's why I'm going to the gym. Obviously, there's some people that do want that, right? They're like, if I'm going to be working out, I want to look at something like myself. I want to look at myself while I work on myself. I should do a recording so I can listen to myself while I look at myself while I work on myself. as I leaf through my Self magazine, read how myself can improve myself. Maybe I'll go to my Facebook page and look at photos of myself. Read what myself has written about myself. Yo soy muy importante. Myself.
Oh, I am so very important. And in a world that says, be about yourself, it's the only way to get ahead, the Word of God offers wisdom. Be like Jesus. That's what he tells us. Listen to Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. You see, that's a church builds that wall, but then that gate. How do you live? Last week, I shared the story of Ernie Johnson, who is the host of the NBA on TNT, because ESPN did a story on him. Curiously, who knew the story that would come out this week, that happened this past week and took national news for Ernie? Here's a minute and a half or so. Check it out.
That's an Emmy Award. Got tons of them around here at Turner Sports. And tonight was Emmy night in New York, the Sports Emmys up there, which is why I'm sitting here in Ernie's seat, because Ernie was up there representing the company, of course, and because he was a nominee, and it turns out a winner for the third time for Best Studio Hoist.
Good job, Ernie!
But the best part of the story comes next, because EJ, to no one's surprise here, stole the show in New York by giving away his trophy. Take a look.
As for this, there's only one place it belongs, and that's on the mantle at Stuart Scott's house. So if the girls could come up, please. This is not for me.
Come on up.
Hey, look. Look, I, like a lot of people in this room, I love your dad. And having gone through cancer, and he and I would text back and forth, and I would just tell him, and I'll tell Shelly the same thing, look, you may have cancer, but it doesn't have you. And you just fight, and you just lean in on people who love you. We love Stuart Scott. This is your Emmy.
We ain't never surprised at anything Ernie does.
Nope.
But this thing, you know, it started with Ernie. Like I say, Craig Sager's battling, man. He's a great man. We wishing him the best. And Shelly, and we lost Stuart. But, man, Ernie Johnson, the man.
See, that's selfless. It's a beautiful thing when you see it. When you see it, you know it's right. When you see it, the world celebrates it. So you gotta let selfish hit the wall. And let selfless in the gate. You got to let this teaching get in your gate and into your life. As God speaks to you, even now as you hear this, are you going to let this in? Let God's word into your life. Let prayer into your life. Make that a part of your life. Talk with God every day. He's the creator. He's your heavenly Father. Do life with him. Let forgiveness into your life through the gate. Let bitterness hit the wall. We all have reasons to be bitter. Everybody feels burned somewhere in life. This isn't a perfect world. It's fallen. What you let in and what you keep out will define the quality of your life. Let generosity in. Let greed hit the wall. See, these are the things that God will teach you if you build wise walls and good gates. It will transform you from the inside out. So let me ask you, I asked myself, I put in my notes, how are you doing building walls and gates in your life? How are you doing building those? And by the way, I just want to make a side note here. We live in a world that says real freedom is no walls. That we live in a world that says, wow, you... Go out, get real freedom. Real freedom is having no walls. Let anything and everything into your life. Let it into your mind. Just let everything in. This is the world. Enjoy it. And I think we ought to challenge that. See, Jerusalem's greatest season of prosperity was when they had walls and gates. That was their greatest season of freedom. And the enemy Babylon knew that if they wanted to take Jerusalem down, all they had to do was remove the walls and the gates. And they reduced the walls to rubble and burned the gates. And that's when Jerusalem went into captivity. No walls and no gates enslave you. I think we've been lied to. I think the world tells us real freedom is no walls and no gates, when in fact no walls and no gates is captivity. That's why Jesus said, you have an enemy, the evil one, and he comes to kill, steal, discourage, and destroy. And when you live with no walls to keep out the ungodly thinking, living, and the like, you end up becoming enslaved to sin, and you lose the freedom that God designed you to enjoy. So how are you doing building walls and gates? Moms, how are you doing modeling this for your kids? Because you only get so much time that they live inside your walls and gates. And then they become late teens and 20s, and they get to build their own walls and gates. And you who are late teens and 20s, yes, you're your own man, your own woman. Yes, you are. And yes, you are now building your own spiritual walls, moral walls, economic walls, relationship walls, and gates. And listen, you can join the world. You can join God's word. You can say, I'll have no walls. I'm on my own. I'll do my own thing. I never bought into that anyway. But know this, you can choose your walls and gates. You cannot choose your consequences. Come on. They will come. Wise on the front end brings reward on the back end. When you let a thief into your soul, it is no wonder you feel like your life has been stolen. Wise walls and gates. And then Nehemiah would say, once you figure that out, there's something you need to do. And this isn't the long point. This is the short one, but let's do it. Here's what you need to do. Pick up a shovel. That was last week. Pick up a shovel and draw a sword for family. Pick up a shovel and what? Draw a sword. Say it with me again. Pick up a shovel and what? Draw a sword for family. Here's what he's going to say. Be advised. Nehemiah would say, be advised, everybody. If you're going to build godly, wise walls and gates, know this. The world won't let you do it without a battle. They won't let you do it without a battle. You're going to battle this. You go try and build godly, wise walls and gates, and the world will battle against you. They will do exactly what Sambalat and Tobiah did in chapter 4. They will ridicule you, shame you, humiliate you, threaten you, speak against you, call you a hater, say anything they can, because they're not going to let you build up the walls and gates and remove yourself from the enslavement they've decided to be a part of. They're not going to. See, in chapters 4, verse 7 and following, what Nehemiah tells us is that they started to come after us to stop the progress on the wall. And he said, more than having a shovel in one hand, we had to put a sword in the other hand. And I posted people in front of their families so that they would understand what was on the line. See, that's why we have this as our kind of logo for the Great and Awesome series and for this great and awesome vision. It's why this is what's on your coffee mug that you got a couple of months ago. That we as a church, for the church family, we're going to have to pick up a shovel and work at it. But that's never going to be enough, because there's going to be opposition. There's an enemy to our souls. And you're going to have to draw a sword and fight for it. Not just work for it, but fight for it. And by the way, that's true of family, isn't it? You're going to have to do that in your marriage. You're going to have to do that for the sake of your kids. Personal families have to work at it and fight for it. And so does the church family. It's what we do together. See, in personal family and in the church family, Nehemiah would tell you what he told the people in chapter 4, verse 14. Know this, that while you have an enemy that comes against you and opposes, God protects things that matter. God protects you. You are not on your own. You are not all alone. So when you draw a sword and you fight for the things that matter, know this, you're not on your own. You're not just drawing a sword on your own. God's joining you in this. He's with you in this. That's all your courage and confidence. He's great and awesome with you. And so when you hear something like, I don't know, just take Toya, her little story of her family and going after and helping her son Michael, everybody applauds and say that's an awesome thing. You know why? Listen, because when you're in family, you fight for each other, right? I mean, isn't that true? What is family? It's people that fight for each other. By the way, what is church family? It's people who fight for each other. In the same application, we not only pick up a shovel, but we draw a sword for each other. Listen, church, we're a family. One family across 9 campuses and growing by God's grace to see God rebuild broken lives, of which we had and we're still in process. And we draw a sword to help each other build wise walls and gates that we might have this God-blessed life and that others might experience and know Him and join in it. That's what this great and awesome vision is about. It's about a church family coming together and picking up a shovel and drawing a sword because we're family. It's personal. Yes, it's going to mark the lives of hundreds of thousands of people in the world. Yes, it's going to change the lives of people in our country. Yes, it's going to mark the lives of people in the state. Yes, it's going to impact people in our community. But listen, it's for our kids and our students right here. This is very personal. My son, my 11-year-old Jaden, is in middle school here, and this place is forming his faith and will through high school. How he learns to build gates and walls will be formed in this church. This is very personal. I'm picking up a sword for all the reasons, including my son, our kids, our students. In 2 to 3 years, I'll probably have grandchildren, and they'll most likely be growing up at this church. This is very personal. This is where my marriage is growing up and being formed in faith. This great and awesome vision is very personal. And it changes people's lives. It's why we have stories like this from one mom. I first attended 12-Stone on a Sunday in early 2011. My husband was working out of town, and I talked my mother into trying 12-Stone with me. I just found out that I was pregnant with my first child. Our marriage wasn't strong. We're not getting along very well. And at the time, I was worried about bringing a child into the world when things were a little rocky at home. I entered into the service that day, not really sure exactly what I was looking for, but I was nervous. And God did a very cool thing in me during that closing prayer. I cannot begin to tell you how much peace and comfort I got from that moment with God. I knew everything was going to be okay, and that changed my life. It started a chain of events that resulted in my husband and I coming to 12-Stone together, being baptized together about 3 years later as our recommitment of faith as a couple. We joined a small group together last fall and attended every Sunday since, and now are attending with our two precious boys, one who is 3, one who is 1, and I just wanted you to know how much of an impact God has made on me and our family through 12-Stone. Thank you, a 12-Stone mom. Isn't that a cool story? That's the stuff that we do together. That's church family. I've got another one to be well worth reading. We got numbers of stories that come in from a single mom who says, last year when I came here and I was blessed by that little card and that little $50 gift, it could have been $1 million. I want you to know it absolutely changed me from the inside out. See, our great and awesome vision is about being a church family. That's why when I say you want to come to a vision conversation, you have Monday and Tuesday of this week. Get in on it. We're going to chase 5 things together that are huge over the next 2 to 3 years. You're part of a church family. I know it's not convenient. What is it? It's not supposed to be. It's commitment. Because you're part of a family. And you not only pick up a shovel, but you draw a sword. That's why next week, May 17th, is huge for this church. It's a turning point. Can't imagine missing it. I'm part of the family. It's just as personal as my personal family. See, this is where we pick up a shovel and work for it, and we pick up a sword and we fight for it. So as I turn the service over to the campus pastors, a few things for you to consider, just as I've asked. How are you doing building walls and gates for your life, for your family, for your church family? And are you serious enough to pick up a shovel, serious enough to draw a sword, even for a great and awesome vision? And by the way, let's make one more Mother's Day memory, which we love to make in our personal family and in our church family. So let's make another memory for a 12-stoner who is far away, like far away in Iraq, who is going to offer Happy Mother's Day to an unsuspecting 12-stone mom. Enjoy.
Hello, 12-stone. I'm Angel Galarza with the United States Air Force. Me and my wife and kids are 12-stoners. I shipped out to this deployment to the Middle East about 5 months ago. A month later, I discovered that my wife is pregnant with our fourth. She's an amazing mother. I wish I was there to celebrate and support her today. I just want to wish her a happy Mother's Day. See you guys soon. Take care of our three kids, plus one. Bye.
Yeah, that's very cool. So wherever you are, Toyna Galarza, at this campus, I think they're at Central Campus. If you're in this service, happy Mother's Day to you and to all the moms. In fact, what we really want to do is say happy Mother's Day. So would all the moms in the room or cafe theater, would you please stand? Church, let's give it up for moms, huh? If you're a mom, stand up. And so bow your heads with me as we pray over moms. You can have a seat, moms. Father, what an awesome idea that you would give us the joy of experiencing, reproducing life, and we would know something of your love for us by our love for our children. Uniquely today, celebrating moms and the gift of moms in our lives. Father, I pray a unique blessing of your hand over moms, that they would receive that today. Some are in great places in life and they're just joy-filled and grateful to you. Maybe all having a piece of that somewhere in their life. Perhaps some feeling a weight of burden today and they're in great need of your peace to cover over them. Would you do so kindly, compassionately? Maybe some facing some of the most difficult seasons, desperate for your power to pour into their lives. Would you grant that to them? And though all at different stages, God, more aware today that the building of personal gates and walls and the way that you live that and the way that you model it to family is life-changing. I pray for wisdom over moms. Really, God, I pray for wisdom over dads as well. I pray for wisdom over us as a church. We build walls and gates in a community in the best sense of that word, Lord, to teach one another and help one another, to help an emerging generation discover what wise walls and good gates are all about. Oh God, that you would raise us up in this great and awesome vision season. You have so much ahead, but it's for our collective good, and it's for the good of those in this community who have yet to know you. And literally the hundreds of thousands of lives that will be touched beyond just through this vision alone, that you would be honored and glorified. And Lord, I also pray for those for whom their whole gates and walls thing is really opposite. They keep you out. They keep you outside their walls, and they're letting foolish in and chaos in. And they're very aware from this that they're living the complete opposite of what we just talked through and what Nehemiah would have taught us. So Holy Spirit, bring wisdom. We'll need it. And would you give strength to moms today who just feel weary, tired, sometimes don't want to go on to the next, and it seems like I'm just in a cycle. Would you give encouragement, God? Would you remind them that they're your daughters, how much they matter to you, how deeply you love them, how much this church family loves them? And would you let this be a day that just pours strength back into their soul? Grant this, we pray. And everyone agreed in Christ's name, saying, amen.